You know, when we usually talk about building software today, there is this persistent expectation of magic. It's like a vending machine illusion.
Oh, absolutely.
You just type a prompt into a text box, the gears whir for a second, and an entirely finished application just, falls out into your hands.
It's a very comforting narrative. We really love the idea of frictionless creation, right? Where the technology carries all the architectural burden and the human just, well, provides the initial wish.
Right, but then you step out of that concept phase and into the world of actual unforgiving production engineering, and suddenly that vending machine is completely jammed.
Yeah, it breaks down fast.
We are looking at a development landscape right now that is littered with broken toys, just full of fragile demos that look incredible in a tightly edited, like 2-minute video, but they completely shatter the moment real users touch them.
Because they only work on the golden path.
Exactly. That perfect scenario where the user does exactly what you expect.
The moment you deviate from that, and you need edge case handling or multi-region scaling or data residency compliance, the magic trick abruptly ends. The illusion of the omnipotent AI developer dissolves, and you're just left with this messy, unscalable code base.
Which is exactly why we are taking you into the third part of our deep dive into the portfolio of veteran enterprise engineer Sam Muthu over at sammuthu.com.
Yes.
Today, our mission is entirely focused on examining his shipped product, Cosmic Keys. We want to answer one specific question for you listening. What actually happens when one experienced developer tries to cross the finish line end to end into production with AI as a development partner?
And the sheer scale of the source material we're looking at today, I mean, it demands a complete recalibration of what we think a solo developer is capable of. We're examining 155,000 lines of production code.
Wait, 155,000?
Yeah, 12,237 individual commits, architected, designed, and built in just 6 months. And every single part of that was executed by one human directing an AI.
That is just wild. And actually, we need to place a massive scope guard here right at the top, because this deep dive is going to dismantle a lot of the marketing buzzwords surrounding AI right now.
It really is.
If you're tuning in expecting Cosmic Keys to be some shiny AI-powered typing app with a chatbot bolted onto the UI, you are in the wrong place. Cosmic Keys is an agentic coding-only project.
That's right.
The real magic happened entirely behind the scenes at development time before the product ever reached a single user. There is no AI in the user data path, none.
That distinction is paramount. This is Sam's first product in a sequence. This is before he moves into multi-agent runtime orchestration with his Watch Algo project, which is a totally different story.
Right.
For Cosmic Keys, the AI built the factory. It does not live inside the factory.
Huh.
But to understand the weight of those 155,000 lines of code, we first have to examine the constraints of his experiment.
Because Sam is coming off a 25-year corporate engineering run.
Yeah.
He's built enterprise-grade systems for places like Wells Fargo, HP's webOS, Ericsson.
He's seen it all.
Yeah, he was not looking to build a weekend toy to play with a new language model. He wanted to stress test an AI coding partner under realistic, totally unforgiving engineering discipline.
Right, so he defined a test bed that had to satisfy four incredibly strict criteria all at once. First, the core interaction had to be universal enough for billions of potential users without requiring, specialized domain knowledge.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, the backend had to be complex enough to exercise every single dimension of modern production engineering. We're talking database migrations, multi-region deployments, strict
That's
localization.
hard stuff.
Exactly. Third, the architecture had to be capable of scaling from one user to 2 billion users without requiring a foundational rewrite.
And the fourth constraint is that it had to be consumer-facing, because internal enterprise tools, well, they can often hide clunky user interfaces. Real consumers force real pixel-perfect polish.
They won't tolerate clunk.
No, they won't. Now, when I look at those four criteria, touch typing seems almost, I don't know, too simple on the surface. It's just hitting keys on a board. Unless, is the latency the real trap here? Because if there's even a microsecond delay between my finger hitting the key and the screen reacting, the illusion just breaks.
Latency is the absolute defining metric here. Touch typing tests the physical limits of an application's architecture.
How so?
Well, a user can physically feel a 50-millisecond delay. If the round trip from the keyboard to the server and back takes 60 milliseconds, the app feels heavy. It actually causes users to physically mistype because their brain's feedback loop is disjointed.
Wow. Okay. And then you factor in the localization. It's not just swapping out text strings on a welcome screen, right? Like, If you're using an ISO standard keyboard in Stockholm, the physical return key is a completely different shape than an ANSI standard keyboard in San Francisco.
It's exactly the issue. Touch typing in German or Swedish utilizes entirely different muscle memory than typing in US English. The application has to detect your hardware at the operating system level before you even strike the first key.
That's intense.
Yeah, it has to adapt the core mechanical logic. Combine that with the necessity for sustainable monetization like integrating Stripe for payments so you avoid those awful distracting banner ads, and you have an incredibly demanding high-torque testbed.
So we basically have this highly sensitive Formula One car of an application.
Yes.
But that brings us to the actual execution. How does one human physically produce 155,000 lines of robust code in a six-month window? Because the sources detail a methodology Sam developed called the Tango Development Pattern, or TDP.
It's a phenomenal mental model for this new era of engineering. The tango implies a dance where the lead continuously alternates depending on the immediate need.
Right.
So the human consistently leads the product vision and the high-level judgment calls, while the AI partner leads on the implementation depth.
And the sources mention Sam essentially wearing 20 different professional hats during this process, like product manager, DevOps engineer, localization lead, UI designer. But, I mean, nobody is an expert in all 20 of those domains.
Which is exactly why the alternating lead of the tango is so effective. When Sam is wearing a hat where he possesses two decades of deep expertise like software architecture, he issues incredibly specific directives. And the AI simply types fast.
It's just executing his exact blueprint.
Exactly. But consider a scenario where he puts on the compliance hat. He might provide the abstract judgment. We need to comply with GDPR data export regulations. He establishes the goal. The AI then brings the domain depth, pulling up the specifics of Article 20, the mandated 30-day processing windows, the machine-readable JSON data formats.
Okay, that dynamic makes a ton of sense, but here is where my mind goes to the design rails.
Oh, yeah.
The documentation outlines this extremely cohesive cosmic identity. We're talking deep slate backgrounds, cyan and purple nebulae accents, this specific typewriter keycap logo that looks like it's catching starlight, and glowing prismatic cards.
It's very distinct.
Right. And the crucial detail is that all of this was locked in before a single line of component code was generated. But, I mean, if you have this incredibly capable AI, why not let the machine be creative? Why not give it a loose prompt and see what kind of UI it volunteers?
Because an AI without rigid rails will default to the mathematical average of its training data every time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if you ask it for a modern interface without providing a strict, predefined design system, it's going to generate a generic, soulless, dark mode template. Furthermore, because you're generating code across hundreds of distinct files over 6 months, allowing the AI to improvise means you end up with 20 subtly inconsistent variations of a user profile card.
Like the buttons are just slightly different shapes on every page.
Exactly. Coherence at scale comes exclusively from disciplined human direction. Sam locked the design vision up front so the AI could execute with mechanical consistency across like 196 different production components.
So the human provides the taste and the machine provides the velocity.
Exactly.
That clears up the methodology. But let's get into the actual mechanics of the code generation. We firmly established there's no AI in the live application, so how is it being deployed at development time? Because the sources highlight this mechanism called the LLM Council.
This is perhaps the most fascinating architectural choice of the entire project. The LLM Council operates strictly locally on Sam's laptop, triggered during a commit or a pull request. He utilizes a custom skill he built called iPartner Review.
So it functions almost like an editorial desk at a major newspaper.
Yes, that's a perfect analogy.
You have Claude Code acting as the junior reporter. It's the primary architect actually writing those 155,000 lines. But before anything gets merged, Google Gemini and OpenAI Codex are brought in as the senior editors to scrutinize the work.
That is a highly accurate comparison. And they are chosen for their specific architectural strengths because they possess different training data and distinct blind spots.
Oh, like what?
Well, Gemini, for instance, has a massive 1 million token context window. It can hold the entire code base in its memory, making it exceptional at spotting multi-file logic errors, whereas Codex is highly tuned for raw code syntax and, you know, security vulnerabilities.
So let's walk through a practical scenario of how that triage works. Let's say Claude generates a new lesson component. Gemini scans it and flags a race condition, meaning two different parts of the backend are trying to update the user's typing score at the exact same microsecond, which could corrupt the data.
Right.
Meanwhile, Codex chimes in and flags that the session cookie handling isn't secure enough. What happens then?
In that scenario, the AI agents do not automatically overwrite the code. They present their findings to the human. Sam sits at the center of this council and triages those conflicting code reviews, exactly like a human engineering manager would evaluate feedback from a team of senior developers. He makes the final judgment call on which fixes to implement.
That is a massive paradigm shift for resource allocation. You're effectively substituting payroll for API tokens during the quality assurance phase. I mean, he completely replaced the overhead of a 5-person code review team.
He did. But to aggressively reiterate our earlier scope guard,
yeah,
absolutely none of this council is deployed to the web.
None of it.
Zero. There is no Anthropic SDK running in production. There are no language models waiting for a user to press a key. It is entirely development time leverage.
Okay, so if the AI isn't running the live application, we really need to explore the architecture that is keeping this massive global platform running so flawlessly. Let's go back to that 50 millisecond latency trap we discussed.
Yeah.
If I'm typing a paragraph and the platform needs to calculate my words per minute and my accuracy, sending every single keystroke over the network to a cloud server would absolutely shatter that latency limit, right?
It would be unplayable. You couldn't do it. Which is why Cosmic Keys utilizes a local first sync architecture. Every single keystroke, your words per minute calculations, your accuracy percentages, all of that math is computed entirely client-side right inside your local browser.
So the browser's doing all the heavy lifting.
Precisely. The data is buffered locally, securely encrypted, and then synced to the back-end database in batches at natural, non-disruptive breakpoints.
Like when?
Like the moment you finish a lesson and pause to view your score. There is zero network round trip required for real-time typing feedback. The server's primary job is long-term persistence, not real-time calculation.
And what about the localization architecture? We mentioned the difference between ANSI and ISO keyboards, but adapting the actual curriculum across cultures is a staggering undertaking.
It is. The platform supports exactly 7 Latin script languages, which manifests as 8 distinct selector entries because English is split into US and UK variants. You have German, Swiss German, Danish, Spanish, Norwegian, and Swedish.
So whether you're sitting in an office in Berlin, a cafe in Madrid, or an apartment in Copenhagen, the application feels natively built for your specific language and hardware.
The localization is absolute. And even the voice narration for those languages spanning 14 different 11 labs voices is completely pre-generated at the time the content is released.
Wait, pre-generated?
Yeah, the audio files are cached on content delivery networks. So these are servers physically located close to the user, ensuring a user in London isn't waiting for an audio file to travel across the Atlantic. The audio is not generated dynamically by an AI at runtime.
Now, let's look at the infrastructure holding this all up. Because the failover and data residency design represents some serious engineering discipline. The application is running on Google Cloud Platform across 3 major regions, the US, the EU, and Asia, managed by a global load balancer acting as a traffic cop. But the failover mechanism is strictly within region only.
Yes. Yeah. This is a critical architectural decision. The Cloud Run instances auto-recover within their specific region, and the Cloud SQL databases utilize regional high availability. But they absolutely do not cross geographical boundaries.
To me, this operates exactly like a municipal library system.
How do you mean?
Like if the main library branch in Stockholm loses power, you don't magically teleport the patrons to a library branch in San Francisco. Their checkout history, their local data stays in Stockholm. You just do not mix the systems.
That is the exact mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it's a deliberate, uncompromising trade-off designed specifically for GDPR compliance. And EU users' data is locked exclusively to that EU database. There is absolutely no cross-region database replication of user data. Yeah, if the entire European region experiences an outage, the application simply degrades locally for those users to protect their data sovereignty.
He chose regulatory compliance and data integrity over the illusion of seamless cross-globe failover.
He did. It's a decision that demonstrates profound architectural maturity. You don't build a brittle cross-region spillover that violates international privacy laws just to keep the uptime dashboard looking green.
Okay, but here is where my understanding of the system hits a wall. We have firmly established there is no large language model running the app, but the documentation explicitly states that Cosmic Keys provides deterministic adaptive lesson selection.
Yes.
It watches your typing mistakes and builds a custom curriculum to fix your specific bad habits. If there is no AI evaluating my typing to build that curriculum, what exactly is happening under the hood?
It's purely deterministic analytics. It is raw mathematics.
Just math. Nothing generative.
Nothing generative at all. Sam recognized early on that throwing a large language model at this specific problem would introduce two fatal flaws. First, it would add hundreds of milliseconds of latency to the motor learning loop. And second, it would introduce non-determinism.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning the system might give you a different lesson for the exact same set of mistakes, depending on the temperature of the AI prompt.
Which completely destroys the ability to reliably measure your progress over time.
Exactly. So instead, the browser captures incredibly rich deterministic metrics while you type. We are talking about tracking your typing rhythm, your specific errors mapped by character, your overall slowest keys, and crucial metrics like per finger latency.
Wait, per finger latency? It tracks how fast individual fingers are moving.
Yes. If your left ring finger is consistently 30 milliseconds slower at hitting the W key than your right index finger is at hitting the U key, the browser records that disparity.
That's crazy detailed.
And at the end of the lesson, that data is persisted to the lesson attempts table in the database. The system then runs standard, highly optimized deterministic algorithms to score those metrics against a pool of curriculum candidates.
So the hard part of personalizing a typing platform isn't natural language understanding at all. A language model doesn't inherently understand human motor skill acquisition. The hard part is knowing which analytics actually matter, like neighbor key confusion or that per finger latency, and designing a mathematical scoring system around them.
It is fundamentally a data engineering and pedagogy challenge, not an AI problem. Sam chose the harder, significantly faster, deterministic route.
Which brings up one final, very specific technical question. You mentioned there is absolutely no AI in the user data path, and the curriculum is math-based. But the sources note there is one single exception where the production app touches an external AI service.
Right. There is exactly one narrow exception. The deployed application makes a single external API call to Google Gemini. It utilizes the Gemini 2.0 Flash model primarily, with 2.5 Flash acting as a fallback. And this call is used exclusively for translating customer support tickets.
Just support tickets?
Only support tickets. If a user in Madrid submits a support request in Spanish, the application makes a standard HTTP request to Gemini to translate the message into English. Both versions are then stored in the database so Sam can read and resolve the issue.
Okay, so we should really view this in the exact same light as using Stripe to process a credit card or using Resend to fire off a Magic Link email. It's a simple third-party API integration for a utility function. It's not some deeply woven LLM SDK integration that acts as the brains of the application.
It is treated strictly as a vendor API. Oh. If the Gemini API goes down, the core product, the typing, the scoring, the localization functions perfectly. The intelligence of the platform is completely independent of it.
You know, taking a step back from the infrastructure and the code and bringing this all together for you listening. The true superpower for a developer in 2026 is no longer about memorizing the syntax for 20 different programming languages.
No, the syntax is rapidly becoming a commoditized resource.
Right. The real leverage lies in architectural taste and workflow discipline. It's the ability to wield AI as a force multiplier rather than relying on it as a crutch. It requires formulating the correct structural questions, establishing those uncompromising design rails so the machine doesn't drift into generic outputs, and, you know, possessing the experience to make the final judgment calls when your dev time AI council presents conflicting options.
And that reality leaves us with a truly provocative thought to walk away with. If we look at the historical life cycle of the software industry, for decades, the recognized atomic unit of a successful tech startup was a team of 5 to 8 people.
Yeah, you needed a founder, a product manager, a UI designer, a front-end developer, a back-end engineer, a database admin.
Exactly. And that team would grind for 12 to 18 months just to ship a viable version 1. That was the minimum viable headcount to build something robust. Cosmic Keys violently disrupts that historical model.
It really does.
We have just examined a multi-region, fully localized 7-language platform with zero latency local first sync, strict GDPR data residency, and deterministic analytics. Architected, designed, built, and deployed in 6 months by one human.
It forces us to ask a profound question about the future of this industry. If a single individual armed with an editorial desk of DevTime AI reviewers and impeccable engineering discipline can independently output 155,000 lines of production-grade code, what happens to the global software economy when the new atomic unit of a massive tech company becomes just one person with exceptional taste?
The leverage becomes almost incalculable.
We started this deep dive discussing the vending machine illusion, the expectation of effortless magic where the machine does all the work. What Samuthu demonstrated with Cosmic Keys is that the machine is just a highly capable, incredibly fast engine. The real magic, the element that actually gets a complex product across the finish line, is the relentless discipline of the engineer directing it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of Cosmic Keys. Keep exploring, and we will see you next time.